Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Let's go. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Good. We'll title this discussion, Drop That Stone. I got that from a story in John chapter 8. A story that I found very fascinating. John 8 from verse 3. The Pharisees and the scribes brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. They said to him, the law of Moses says that we should stone someone that is caught in adultery. What do you have to say? Verse 6 says, this they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. First, when I read this story, I just try to imagine the amount of shame that that woman must have felt that day. Brought out in the open, daytime, shamed. And the people that brought her were not common men, because again, when I gloss over the passage, my assumption is it was just some ordinary men. They were powerful people. They were leaders. They were the religious leaders of the day. They were scribes and Pharisees. She was shamed publicly. She didn't deny what she had done because she was caught in the very act, they said. Don't mind the fact that it was only her that they brought. Committing adultery with herself by implication. Don't mind that fact. But when I read the story further, especially when I read verse 6, this they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him, then I realized actually that the woman was not even the object of their anger. The real target was Jesus. It was Jesus they actually wanted to stone. And this woman was caught in the crossfire. We're talking about love this month. And I realize that this just falls in line with the way the Bible structures it or explains it. That when it comes to love, you can't talk about loving God without talking about loving man. You can't separate the two of them. When they asked Jesus in Matthew 22, which is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, 37 to 40. He said, this is the greatest commandment, that you love the Lord your God. He said, the second one is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. When John the Apostle explained it in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he said, anyone who says that he loves God but hates his brother is a liar. He said, how can you love God whom you have not seen and not love your brother that you can see? He explained in verse 21, this is the command that we received from him, that he who loves God must, that's the word he used, must love his brother also. So that's his interpretation of what we read in Matthew. It doesn't seem like so in Matthew. In Matthew 22, they look like two separate commands or commandments. But John the Apostle says, no, they are intertwined. They are connected. That actually what Jesus was saying is that you cannot love God and not love man, because every human being is an extension of God. Man's body may have come from the soil, but man's spirit came from inside God himself. When he created man and breathed into his nostril, it wasn't just air that he was pumping into the body. It was the spirits of all human beings that he was releasing there. Every human being is an extension of God. So whatever you do to man, you've done to God. God will feel it. Amazing. So in the bid to hit Jesus, they're going to hit also a woman caught in the crossfire. But my focus is on the fact, or is on how Jesus resolved it. Jesus didn't answer them. He was writing on the ground. So verse 7 says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Isn't that scary? Don't you think that would have put her life at risk? He who is without sin, let him throw a stone at her first. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Amazing! Every single person. These were not church members. These were leaders. Every single one disappeared. Beginning with the oldest. What did Jesus say? If you don't have sin, stone her. So they said, they ran away, beginning with the oldest. Ostensibly because, obviously, he had the greatest volume of sin. Because he had been around for the longest time, okay? So the oldest, you know, to the youngest. So they had sin. Amazing. Amazing. And they wanted to kill someone for committing sin. You know what I see from the Gospels? When we relish the idea of bad things happening to bad people, it's a sign something is wrong with us. When we delight in the idea of someone being punished, of something bad happening to someone, it's a sign there's a problem somewhere. Because in Matthew 7, Jesus said, judge not so that you will not be judged. With the same measure that you judge, it will be measured back to you. Then he said, why are you concerned about the speck in your brother's eye when there's a pole sticking out of your own? He said, remove the pole in your eye, then you'll be able to see clearly that it's just the speck in your brother's eye. So it's our problems that magnify other people's problems. Amazing. That's what I see from the passage. I know that such feelings and desires are usually born out of our experiences where there's a lot of oppression and deprivation. Poor people are happy when they hear that bad things happen to rich people. Oppressed people are happy when they hear that something bad has happened to someone who is powerful. The oppressors, the bourgeoisie. That's why many years ago, when we had the soap opera, you know, this soap opera on TV, people really liked it. The rich also cry. Yes. You know, there's a local proverb in Yoruba language. The rich man is not God, just that his secrets are covered. Any nonsense. So, back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, but I read it from the Amplified Bible. Galatians 6, 1, Amplified. It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, do what? Should set him right and do what? And restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Amazing. So, he who does not have a sin, let him throw the first stone, or the stone first. And then they missed out one by one, and the only person left with the lady was Jesus. He had not committed any sin, so he was the only one that had the right to do what? To stone her. Did he stone her? No. Amazingly, he said, where are the people who were accusing you? They've gone. They've disappeared. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Isn't it amazing? Your ability to forgive, to restore, to mend somebody's spiritual wounds. Those are the signs of spiritual maturity. So church is filled with many babies, because sometimes church is the place where you experience the greatest condemnation. The place where we impose impossible standards on ourselves. It was religious leaders that were going to stone the lady to death, and they had issues in their own lives. And Jesus came to produce another dimension of spiritual leadership. Every army has a department that is very important when they go to war. The medical corps, the doctors and the nurses, they go with every army that is in battle, because getting people wounded is a normal part of it, because it's a risky venture. If you are afraid to approach the enemy, they will take over your territory. Church is involved in spiritual warfare. It's for courageous people. Good. So what does the army do? Someone is wounded, they replace the person, and they go to treat the wound and get the person back up into fighting position. So I don't know of any army that would pick wounded soldiers from the battlefield and then shoot them and kill them, except the church. Church. We should stop killing our wounded people. We should restore them. We should mend them. Did I hear you say amen? Amen. That's the sign of maturity. That's the sign of love. This should be the place where people find forgiveness. They find forgiveness. So I say to the person who's been wounded, the person who's made a mistake, yes, the person who's been caught in adultery, caught, some of us were caught because we got pregnant. So there's no place to hide it. So you're carrying, carrying a pregnancy, and people know you are not married. Some of us have been caught stealing. Some have been caught here or caught there. If it's church that you came to the right place. The only thing is, take your attention off from people. Put it on Jesus, the light of the world. The one person who will never, ever condemn you. He died for you already. Even if you killed someone, he paid for that sin on the cross. So he will never criticize you for it. He understands the nature of sin. Come to Jesus, the one who's being caught. But I think the greater part of the message today is to the one that has not been caught yet. Because all those people who were holding stones were also doing it. It was just that they had not been caught yet. So my encouragement is, instead of you focusing on the ones that have been caught stealing from the government purse and from other places, drop the stone and also face Jesus, the light of the world. Let's all receive forgiveness. Let's all receive cleansing. Let's all receive freedom from shame and freedom from guilt. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. No one has the power to overcome sin. It is the forgiveness of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to live above sin. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law. You are under grace. It is God's grace, God's help. you will look at the thing you were doing before. The temptation will come and you will not respond to it. It's God's grace that makes that possible. And we receive that grace this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person present here in this service who says, Pastor, I've made mistakes. Been running people down, criticizing people. If I'll be honest with myself, I have issues. And in the name of Jesus, I declare, today is a day of forgiving, a day of freedom, a day of deliverance from the power of sin. I declare by the power that raised Christ from dead, sinful habits are destroyed, broken in the name of Jesus. Someone is making money in illegitimate ways. Today, the desire, the power of greed is destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And some have suffered shame already. I declare today the power of rejection is destroyed. Instead of shame, God will give you fame. You will be recognized as the one God restored, God made whole, and God prospered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So I pray for the person who says, Pastor, to be honest, we need to deal with mine at another level. I'm a sinner. My relationship with God is not okay at all. I appreciate now God sent Jesus to die for me on the cross. I want God to forgive me. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I came in here and I know my relationship with God is not right. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me. It's going to be a short prayer, but a life-changing one as we receive forgiveness from God. Can you please put your hand on your heart? And perhaps you've said the prayer before, you've been a Christian before, but you've backslidden into sin. All you want to do is to restore, okay, or to rededicate your life to Christ. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you for your honesty. God bless you. I've been a Christian, but I've backslidden into sin. If Jesus comes today, or God forbid, I die and appear before God, I'm not absolutely certain I will make heaven. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Can you please put your hand on your heart? What a day. This is the prayer I prayed that changed my life many years ago. And I lost fear before Satan, lost fear before man, lost fear before situations and circumstances. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters. When we pray to you, you forgive us because you love us. Thank you for forgiveness of sins today. And more than that, thank you because you've removed the nature of sin from them and put your nature in them. Thank you for this miracle of change. Teach them to know you and to love you and to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name.